The Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time the boat was battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking towards them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and started walking on the water and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened and began to sink and cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
When I read this story, I always think about how silly it seems that Peter wants to walk on the water. I mean, I love water and I love swimming, but don't get me wrong, it would be kind of amazing if I could walk on the water, kind of like some awesome superpower superhero kind of vibe. I mean, that would be kind of cool, right? Right? Okay. Let's get back on track. The gospel we just read is also related to another story, a boat story earlier in Matthew. Matthew 8, 23 through 27. We hear the story of Jesus and the disciples being in a boat together. Jesus is taking a nice nap when a huge storm comes up. The disciples are so scared that they wake Jesus and ask him to save them from drowning. He says, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" Then he goes about making the storm calm. Now that we're refreshed on these two stories, let's make some connections. Both times the disciples are in a boat and there is a storm. One has Jesus in the boat. The other has Jesus coming to meet them walking on water. I have to point out that in today's Gospels, the disciples have at least learned how not to be scared of the storm anymore. Jesus already made that point to them. I can picture the conversation going something like this. "Hey guys, there's a big storm." "Yeah, but Jesus calmed it last time." "True, I guess we're safe." "Yeah, but Jesus isn't here with us this time." "But Jesus told us not to be afraid." "I guess we'll just have to stay calm and see what happens." That's how you hear it being played out, right? I mean, the disciples are just learning. They are taking in small bits of Jesus' teachings and trying to grasp faith and trust. When Jesus walks up to the boat after having time alone to recharge, I imagine he's ready to rejoin his support group and continue on his ministry. Of course, the disciples see him as a ghost and freak out. I mean, I would not know what to do if I saw somebody walking on the water in the midst of a storm. The disciples have never seen this before. They probably thought they knew Jesus, but this sends them for a loop. Everyone is scared. Once again, Jesus repeats to them, "Do not be afraid." He says this so many times. There's five major times that this phrase is used in the New Testament, with Mary and Joseph, the calming of the storm, the walking on the water, the women at the tomb, and with the Great Commissioning. For some reason, no one can remember to stay calm for very long. I mean, I never get anxious about anything. I mean, I leave on Tuesday for a year of service in Madagascar. I still have to get things packed. I still need to make one more trip to Target. I want to see my friends one last time. Yeah, so maybe I'm a little scared. But I stop and I breathe. And I hear the whisper of, "Do not be afraid. This is the plan I have for you." Okay, back to the gospel. Let's break down the part where Peter enters the picture. Peter doesn't believe for sure that it is Jesus walking on the water, so he needs proof. Jesus invites Peter to walk on the water with him. Peter is out of the boat and onto the water before anyone, including Peter, has a chance to see what's happening. Not until Peter was among the waves with Jesus that he gets scared. He started to second guess it all. I know Peter isn't alone here. We all do this. We are so excited about something that is going on that we run and jump out of the boat before we can think. We sign up to volunteer. We take a big project on at work. We find ourselves in a new relationship. We don't even think about it. Then we start to look around and notice that we are not the best we can be, and there are scary things out there. We can't bake like the other moms at school. We are not the best coach for the team. We can't meet the deadline for the project. We don't look like the models in the magazines. We fall faster and faster and faster, and before we know it, we are up to our chins in the water, sputtering and flailing just to stay above a bit longer. What we asked to be a part of and what we were so excited about isn't fun anymore. Drowning is a real possibility for Peter. Who knows what's going on in his head? But we know he was afraid, probably terrified. We know what happens next, right? We just heard it. In verse 32, immediately Jesus reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" What did you just hear? Was it something like Jesus is trying to figure out why Peter is still doubting him? You hear the phrase Jesus says to Peter. It sounds like he's almost getting punished. Like he isn't good enough. This is what I've always heard. But this time, my eyes were open to a new viewpoint, thanks to Pastor Amy and a book she was reading. I saw it in a new light. The key is the stuff that comes before what Jesus says. Let me read it again. Peter cries out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. Did you catch it that time? Peter is saved right away. Jesus doesn't let Peter continue to sink. He grabs him. He reaches out his hand. It isn't a test Peter has to pass or a phrase he has to say. It is the kindness of Jesus. Before everything, we are saved. This is what grace looks like. It is like God saying, "I got you," and pulling you out. So often we start to think, "I can't do this," and that is when the problem starts. It is the I part. Peter probably started talking to himself as he was walking. "Wow, look at me, I'm walking on the water. Look at me go. Wow, those waves are kind of big. Oh, that wind is really strong. Wait, what am I doing? I'm not that special. I can't do this. I'm not brave enough. I'm not strong enough. I don't even know how to swim." Down he went. He started looking to himself. The statements he was thinking needed to be changed to "we" statements. There is no way, as humans, we can do things alone without the help of God. Often we think we can, and that is when we get into trouble. Our focus shifts from a mentality of "me and God" to a "it's all me" mindset. Just like Peter. He went from focusing on Jesus to focusing on the winds and the waves, and he said, "I can't do this." We all get to this place, this "I can't do this" land. When I first found out that I was selected to be a young adult in global mission in Madagascar, my heart was overjoyed. I am taking a step to fulfill a dream that I have always had. Quickly, the ball started rolling with everything I needed to do, and I only had 6 months before I would leave. Have you ever tried to pack for a year? It's crazy. Two bags for a year. Actually, just the logistics of it all is enough to make your head spin. And then to add a little extra fun into there, having type 1 diabetes and trying to get supplies for a year is something you can't easily do. And then there's the fact that I'm leaving my family and friends behind for a year. How do you ever say, see you later, to the people you care most about? See? I stepped out of the boat so fast, so ready to follow where God was calling me. I was walking on the water just fine until I realized what all it involved. And I began to sink. Just like Peter, I took my eyes off of Jesus and began to listen to the voices that were making I statements. The best part is that without even asking, God extends his hand and pulls me up. Not only is it once that he does this, but hundreds of times. As we all know, the disciples were known to make mistakes and not to get the message Jesus was telling them. Over and over again, he would pull them up and then ask the questions. Once we are back on solid ground with Jesus at our side, he then asks, "Why did you doubt?" The question seems a little less scary now. He isn't judging us. He isn't trying to help. He's trying to help us debrief after a scary time. So, breathe with me. Grace is just like this. We are human, and God knows we are not going to be perfect. When we take off on a new adventure in our lives, and we need to remember that God is right there with us, we don't need to be afraid. But for when we do begin to think like Peter and begin to sink, we know Jesus is right there by our side. So, when school projects don't go as planned, when traffic runs you late for a meeting, when complications with your health keep you from doing things, when relationships are struggling, when we don't know how to say goodbye, God is there, reaching out, no questions asked. Amen.